free, where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day, where night will never be. A city where no storm clouds ever gather.
Amen.
Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the glassy sea to join our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other love all flees, and when they crown him Lord of all, is just what heaven means to me.
What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the glassy what heaven means to me.
On the chorus.
What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the glassy
my Savior, but serving Him has been such a thrill, and I have never seen the gates of that city. But one day, one day, streets of pure gold, and they tell me the half has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hills. Yes, one day, one day. Joy He has filled, and I'm longing for the day when my eyes shall behold Him. Yes, one day, one day I will. One day I'm gonna walk on streets of pure gold, and they tell me the half has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hills. Yes, one day, one day, we all will. You just got to have Jesus as your personal Savior, and one day you will.
Eighteenth chapter of the book of Genesis. I want to begin reading verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, which that him is Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege, and I pray, God, you'll allow the Holy Spirit, God, to work in our hearts and the hearts of those that are here. Touch that one that needs it most. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke's gospel, it tells us about the prodigal son. The prodigal son went away from his father's house, done all the things that he did, and he figured out from that far distance from home that he had it a whole lot better at home than he did for where he was living. When he was at home, he had a father that would lead him and guide him and protect him and feed him and all those other things. When he was out on his own, he had to fend for himself. And he thought money would take care of it, but money didn't do it. Finally, when he come to himself, when he realized, when he come to himself, the scripture tells us that he returned home. Before he got home, the father was already a-looking and saw him from a great distance. And listen to this. He ran to his son. Now, different, isn't it? In this passage of Scripture, we have the Lord coming to a servant called Abraham. Now, before Abraham got the great reputation that he has, and all of us people that read your Bible on a regular basis, you know, Abraham was pretty good. We like to call Abraham a lot of things, and most of them's good things because of where he stood and how he was with God. But before Abraham got this reputation, before he was talked about and all the things that we can put him as a Bible hero, Abraham was on a journey. And God paid him a visit. Now he pays him a visit, don't get confused with the way the world looks at things. There's no such thing as God visiting a preacher and say, oh, the Lord's in me and all these good things. Don't listen to that kind of stuff. I want you to know God doesn't love you any more than he does me, and he doesn't love me any more than he loves you, and I'm thankful for that. But when God comes on the scene, you're going to notice a difference, not from a human standpoint. You're going to notice a difference from a godly standpoint, okay? You can claim to be godly all you want. You can jump and shout and do all those things. You can do all those things and say, oh, look how godly I am. Friend, before these folks ever got to the tent's door, Abraham knew who they were. See, there's a big old difference when you are godly and you act godly. Big old difference when you act spiritual and you are spiritual. There's a big old difference between acting saved and being saved. There's a big old difference from acting lost and being lost. Now, I want you to think on those things. Listen, the Bible said that Abraham sat at the tent's door. Now, that was just a kind of a customary thing because of the heat of the day and all those contributing factors, but he just sat at his tent door like he'd done on many other days. And on many other days, nothing unusual happened. On many other days, it was just like one more day that we live. And you might be having one more day that you live. We might call it a boring day. We might call it a day where nothing exciting happened and all we did was work. Or we might be all just kind of my normal humdrum life. But on this particular day, the Lord came visiting. And on this particular day, the Lord came visiting to a certain person, Abraham. And when the Lord came visiting, there is a reason and a purpose for everything that happens under the sun. There's a reason that God does what he does in mine and your life if we're willing to let him run our lives. Now, if you choose to live the life that you want to live, help yourself. But I'd rather choose the way the Lord wants me to live. The reason is his path is a whole lot better than the path that I travel. Think of the prodigal son. His direction is a whole lot more refined than my direction. Bible tells us our steps are ordered by the Lord. It seems like when you follow the direction that God wants, the surprises that we may incur are not a surprise to God. The troubles that we have in this life are not a surprise to God. If we will trust him, then watch exactly what's happening. The reason why it's mentioned about the prodigal son at the beginning was this. When the father saw him from a great distance, the father got up from where he was at and ran to meet him. Now, I want you to notice the very big difference in this situation. When we come in contact with God, how do we react? When we do it. When Moses was on the backside of the desert, kind of banished from the Egypt, and he was on the backside from none of his kin folks, none of his family, backside of the desert, and God decided, well, Moses, it's time for you to lead God's children. And Moses hadn't heard about it just yet. But while Moses was traveling, all of a sudden, God decided that he would speak to him through a burning bush. We know the Bible story. But when he began to speak to him through a burning bush, he says this. He goes and says, I'm going to go over and look at that bush. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. That caught your attention. I want to tell you,
God has a way of catching our attention. God has a way. When Abraham sat in the seat of almost do nothing at the tent of hot and despair, all of a sudden the Lord comes visiting him on that day. And you know the first thing that Abraham did, and young people can't relate to this, but older folks can. Abraham ran to where the Lord was. Abraham ran to where the Lord was. The description that it describes these three men is a representation. It's a representation of the men of God, the angels of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the direction of God. All these things are in curtailed in this. We know it wasn't the physical God. We know it was a spiritual guidance and direction through men, as we would call angels, that were visiting Abraham. When God comes visiting, why does he come visiting? The first reason that we can look at is we have to have a tendency to do what God wants to do, and that was in him running to the angels, the men, the power of God. Why is that important? You have to be a little enthusiastic in what you believe in. I don't know about you, but I get excited at what I have in the presence of God, what I have in God. I am nothing without Jesus Christ. I am nothing. I'm a nobody. And guess what? You're a nobody also. If it wasn't for the goodness of God lying within us, we would have nothing and be nothing. But with the goodness of God, we have a reason to want to go toward God. And this example was running to God. And when you run to God, you're a little bit enthused at what you got. One day I'm going to be running home. You mind? One day I'm going to leave this world. And whenever I do, I'm not going to lollygag around. When God calls my name, I'm headed home. And when he calls my name, I'm going to know it's my name and not somebody else's. I'm glad he knows me by my name. First thing I'll do is I'll run to him. After that, the next thing that Abraham did, he bowed. You may say, preacher, you got to read it for yourself. I ain't got time, okay? He bowed. You know what he did? He bowed. I don't know how many of us in our modern day world that we're living in, we're too good to bow on our knees for God. We're too good to testify for God. We're too good to tell about the goodness of God. I got news for you. If you got somebody worthy to bow to, you might ought to bow to it. And the only one worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ. None other. None other do I want to. I'm not going to bow these old crippled knees up, sir. No, sir. I'll bow to God and bow to God only. And you know what we've got in this world today? A bunch of too high and mighty folks that think they're too good to get on their knees in front of God. But that's where I got saved, and that's where I'll go and meet my Savior, on my knees. I'm thankful to bow to God. I'm thankful that I can bow. It's not just bowing your head. It's not just bowing your knees. It's bowing your heart. When you're willing to submit yourself to the will of God, you will get on your knees. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know what it is to bow on my knees. Now, I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. When these knees were replaced a few years ago, my bowing days is almost over. I bow. I ain't getting up, okay? But I'm glad I can still bow in my heart, and I thank God for that. I got to hurry because he bowed. He ran to him. He bowed himself toward the ground. And verses 3 said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant." Friend, whenever he humbled himself in the sight of God and he bowed himself, one of the things that he did, not only that, is he realized God was greater. Now, what is God greater than? What is God greater? God is greater than so many things you've ever seen in your life. I don't know how to explain it, but God is greater. Why is God greater? God is greater than any man that's up on the face of this earth. He's greater than anybody that I know personally. In fact, the president, God's greater. If I wanted to say to myself, what can I do to make myself greater? I'll never be greater. But listen to this right here. You remember when the prodigal son got home? When he got home, man, he said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you failed mom and daddy, and because of my failure, I don't even to be considered a son? Now watch this right here. Abraham, when God called him from where he was, friend, God made Abraham a land. He said, wherever you go, that's going to be your land. You know what me and you are used to saying when we get in trouble? I'm going home. That's what we say. You ever got in trouble when you was growing? Well, sure you. Wait a minute. If you was a boy, you got in trouble, okay? So what would you do when you'd get in trouble? You'd say, I'm going to head to home. I'm going home. Because you think if you're at home, you're safe. Where was Abraham going? Who was Abraham going to see? Where was he going to run to? You see, friend, when you're in Abraham's shoes, there's no one greater than God. There's no one you can run to but God. God is the only one today that me and you can take our troubles to, and He will listen and He will answer according to His will. There's a greater will in God than it is in me and you. And I know that if I trust in God, that I will let Him lead my life. God is greater, and God has got a home far greater than this world down here, and I've got a better place to go, and it's not upon this world. God's greater. Number four, I'll hurry. Won't you listen to this? Not only that, when you look like He is greater, I want you to notice one thing He did say. He said, verses 4, little water, I pray you be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you in your hearts after that you'll pass on, for therefore you're come, your servant. And He says, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened in the tent. Now, what that meant, he told Sarah, Sarah, we got some visitors. Not just your normal next door neighbor visitor wanting to borrow sugar. None of that kind of stuff. No, we've got visitors, and these visitors are from God. Now, when God comes visiting, there must be a reason God's coming. When God comes back to reclaim His church, according to Revelation chapter 4, there is going to be a calling up thing, which means for all of us that's in God's church, the Bible talks about it in Thessalonians, where He's actually going to get those that their bodies in the grave and resurrect them up. And guess what? If we're still happen to be alive, God's going to all of a sudden change them, and He's going to change us, and then we're going to go up to be with the Lord. Now, the reason why Jesus come is to make that event take place. The reason why the Lord's coming back is for that reason. That's number one. But watch this. There's a reason why those men came to Abraham on that day. There's a reason. There is a reason, because a long time prior, before Abraham kind of started his journey, He tells Abraham, let me put it in my words, everywhere your feet walk, that's going to be your land. But not only that, you're going to have so many children situations that it's going to be like the stars of the sky. And you, let me add some things. Sand on the sea. I could add a whole bunch of things in, but let me put it this way. When God promised Abraham, said, your generation is going to last on and on and on. Now, what that meant was, Abraham, you're going to have children. Now, if I can fast forward and say, Abraham and Sarah at this point on this day hadn't had no children. Abraham was an old man. Well, he's going to get older. But he was an old man. Abraham didn't know why God had visited him. He was enthusiastic. He ran. He bowed. He was sure thankful. He was grateful for God to lead him. He goes and tells Sarah, guess what? We got visitors, and these visitors are not our normal visitors. But here's what happened. On this particular day, these angels told Abraham, your wife is fixing to have a child. That didn't sound like much, did it? Gonna be a son. Didn't sound like much. But to an old man that can't have children, to a wife that can't have children, that's a blessing from God. But it wasn't just a blessing. Because every one of us in this room have been blessed by God, saved or lost. Saved or lost. New Testament tells us that God causes it to rain upon the just and on the unjust. I can go out my door and get and watch rain and say, thank you, God, because God, you blessed us with rain. But my lost friend down the road can do the very same thing without ever recognizing God. Without ever thanking God for the rain that comes down. You see, if only the blessing for Abraham was to have a son, it would just have been a small blessing. Or it'd been a big one to Abraham, but a small blessing, me and you wouldn't be talking about it. But that son was a fulfillment of the promise of God. That son was the answer to that promise that God made to Abraham. Oh, how blessed Abraham was. How wonderful it is to know that when God promises something, God will deliver. God will deliver. In fact, the day that I got saved, in nighttime on a Saturday night of all time. I got saved in a country church on a Saturday night. Had a singing, wasn't even no preaching. I tell you that, but I want to repeat this. Why? God told me. Not in audible words that I could hear, whoa, that's God. No, God told me through the preached word on many occasions that he loved me. That was no big deal. The Bible says God so loved the world he gave. Hey, God so loved the world. He loves everybody. Ah, but one day God made it personal and said, God said to me, I love you. That changed it from a big old thing to a small thing. And when he changed that small thing, it was kind of like them angels come visiting. When God comes to visit, God makes it personal. God makes it to your door. God makes it knocks on your door. Not the neighbor's door. God knocks on your door. And when God knocked on Abraham's door, Abraham was willing to answer. And all of a sudden, the promise of God became real. It wasn't that he was going to have a child. It was that he was going to have a promised child. And friend, when God spoke to me on that Saturday night and I said yes, got up from where I sat and went down the altar and asked God to save my soul, I didn't know the hows or why. I didn't know all the in-between things, but I just knew this. God promised if I'd come, he'd save me. He'd save me. And because he saved me, I'm a promised son of God. Not because of what I've done, because of what Jesus done. I'm glad God come to my house that night. I'm glad that God spoke to me that night. But God is not a respecter of persons. No, none, by no means. Just because he loves a heathen boy that lived in Lauderdale County in Florence, Alabama on that night, friend, God loved Abraham just the same amount whenever he was on a desert and everywhere his feet was going, God had promised him. I didn't realize the promises that God had made toward me because I was a heathen. I was lost. I was undone. But friend, when God came visiting to me on that night, where I sat, and I don't know how fast I walked. I don't know if I ran. I don't really know. I can't tell you that. And I just know I made a beeline from where I was sitting and made it down to the altar. And friend, the next thing that I done after I ran, I bowed. I can relate to the story of meeting the Lord come whenever he come and visited me. I can relate to the story of bowing. But I don't just end there. I can relate to the story, why are you folks here? And when them folks said, we come to tell you that you're going to have a child, it's going to be a promised child. I can relate to that story because Jesus, that promised Son of God, came to me so that I could be saved. Well, preacher, are you something different? I wasn't a preacher back in those days. I was just a sinner. And friend, when God spoke to me on that particular night, he didn't speak to say, oh, look at that thunder roll. Oh, look at that lightning. Look at that, all those wonderful signs. Friend of mine, he came to me like he did that old prophet in that cave. He didn't come in the wind. He didn't come in the fire. He came in that still, small voice that spoke to my heart. And if you're ever going to get saved, that's how you'll have to be saved, because he'll speak to your heart as an individual. You can do all those things, but I believe there's a sign that was also promised here, that sign that he would have that child. And I believe also when you look at that particular part of the scriptures, you find that he said, oh, thy wife, I'll read this part, he said in verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it at the tent door. All those things happen. But verses 14, and I'll hush in just a moment. Verses 14, here's what it says. Abraham is speaking, and he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I have to think on that just one moment. For Abraham, I think he was blessed. I really do. I think God made him walk on desert and hills and rocks and valleys, and God made him do a whole bunch of things. Or let me kind of say it this way. Was Abraham willing to walk on sand and rocks and things? I believe when you get a visit from God, it don't come like coming to church. Well, I have to go to church today. I believe you can't wait to go to church today. Big old difference, ain't it? At school, first day of school is the unhappiest day in the world for them bunch of youngins. They'll come in there and I look at them and I think, good Lord, have mercy. There ain't a smile on none of their face. This one feller come in the other day and I looked at him and I said, good Lord, if you looked any worse. And boy, I got his attention. And I said, you at least cheer up. School's fixing to be out. You can be set free in just a few more days. And that got his attention. You know, I got to do something to wake these kids up. But the truth of it is, many of us look like, oh Lord, we got to go to church today. I'm glad to go to church today and have fellowship one with another and rejoice because I'm saved. Is anything too hard? Friend of mine, if he saved me, he can save you. He saved me, he'll save you. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut sometimes. Sometimes you just want to tell folks why you should be so stubborn. Because I talk country boy English. I'll tell you, stubborn, you mule head, and all those other things. I don't have the proper words. Or I try not to use them, okay? But the truth of it is anything too hard for God? That answer is no. And he can save you. But if you continue living like you're living and doing like you're doing without God, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the end of that story. The angels won't be coming visiting you saying, come on in. The only visit you'll hear is the visit in the words that God will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's what you'll hear. When the angels came a-visiting, what was on God's mind? to say? What's on God's mind for you? What's he going to do? Sometimes as a preacher, sometimes you say, well, the preacher's got an answer for everything. Sometimes I don't. I'm sorry. I don't have the answer. You can come to me with a problem and I can sit there and scratch my head and say, I don't have an answer. I don't. And you can come to me and say, listen, I need to be saved. I can tell you how. But the saving is not within me. The saving comes from you and God. And when God will save your soul because you ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Sometimes I don't have the answer. But God always has an answer. If your life is in shambles, it's because you've let it remain there. But if you'll come to God, he's got a greater purpose for you than just being lost. And that's salvation. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I could tell you a lot of things, but reality changed my life when God came visiting me. Reality will change on your life when God visits you. And this morning, I really believe God visiting and God speaking. Hey, there's no more rejoicing that I can do. Another brother's gone on. I'm happy. I'm happy I don't have to see him suffer. I rejoice. That night before, Wednesday night, whenever I prayed like normally, I just prayed, God, just let somebody go home. Boy, sometimes that may be selfish, but I hate to see people suffer. But in hell, there's going to be many people that I'll know on this side that are going to be cast into hell that I can't do nothing about. I'll have to be silent because the same way that Jesus put out his precious blood, the redemptive plan, salvation paid for. The only thing that he asked of you was surrender your heart and life to him. This preacher has to be quiet because Jesus did it all. And he did it all for you. When the Lord visits you, is anything too hard for God? No. May we stand. Sing a verse. If you need to come and pray, I'll be right here with you.